Un kilomètre à pied, ça use, un kilomètre à pied, ça use les souliers. I can't tell you how long I've had this balloon, this one above my head. I can't remember when I first noticed it. It might have been in my reflection in a classroom window, a car door. I might have first seen its oval shadow in the setting sun of the village where I grew up, in a country that isn't England. I wonder if it poured out of me while I slept. It was always there, bobbing gently a short distance above my head, opalescent, semi-opaque. I felt that to chase it away would mean pain. I knew that I liked being in small spaces where my balloon was close to me. I knew that I didn't like strong winds or crowded places where my balloon would threaten to fly away. I knew that when I was hugged, it would glide above both of us and I would feel wordlessly understood. I knew that I needed it and it needed me, but I didn't know why. If you ask me about home, I'll take your hand gently and trace the lifeline across your palm like my great-grandmother did. Then, because to speak something is just as much as to make it real, I'll charge you a shilling for my bullshit prophecy like my great-grandmother didn't. It's back home in France when I'm 11 that I discover the truth of my balloon. Everyone in the group is a couple of years above me. We're there to run and jump and throw in the floodlights after school. The first two activities are okay, but I'm uncomfortable being let loose with a javelin. There's a girl who's good at throwing, and I want to be like her, chatty and having fun. I don't understand how to, though, so I watch silently. The instructor takes her aside. "Try to make friends with her," he says. I know they're talking about me. Then her reply, "I've tried. She doesn't talk." The words bounce off the red track and land at my feet. I feel a tightness in my throat. The next time we race, I run hard and fast and outside myself. My balloon casts a long shadow across the track. The shadow is lightly blue, and for the first time, I can see that my balloon isn't empty. There's something solid curled inside it. "Oh, are you adopted?" the girl's asking me and pointing at the track gate where Mum is behind the fence, waving me in. I feel an even tighter pinch in my throat and now the weight of my balloon, trembling like it might disintegrate. I have to hold my hand above my head to keep it from hitting me. It takes a moment to understand the girl's question. It rolls around my head, leaving imprints in everything I thought I knew. Then I look up and I realize it's my larynx in there, floating above me. I don't know if your larynx has ever lifted itself out of your throat, enveloped in a small, lightly iridescent balloon, and decided to float above your head just out of reach, but it is a peculiar thing. I hold my throat and shake my head at the girl and run away. I learn that saying nothing is a problem, but that speaking a falsehood is just as much as to make it real. For the next few days, I silently search for traces of me in Mum's face. Fist and throat clenched at such an unwelcome intrusion into my reality. If you ask me about home, I'll take eight A3 sheets of paper, tape them together on the long side, and with a brown pen place dots where my freckles are. Then I will turn the pages over and rub them lightly with candle wax. The ones we use for power cuts will do nicely. And I'll show you the faint outline of my fears. There's nothing pathological about it, the balloon situation. I can speak and do speak if I want to. The thing is, though, that most of the time, to be completely honest, which is what I am most of the time, which is easy when you're saying nothing, most of the time, the truth is, I don't want to speak. And when the larynx floats up above me, I forget it's even there, which is a problem. Summer holidays often mean England, and this summer I'm standing in Loughborough Tesco with my hood up, trying my 12-year-old best to look like a small adult. I know Tesco mainly as a purveyor of white chocolate and curly wurlies, which is why I've agreed to come. The children in this country are still at school, and I'm convinced that someone will ask me what on earth I think I'm doing here on a weekday holding a packet of Milky Bar buttons. You shouldn't be in here in the freedom of the Tesco bakery. I hope they can read it on my face that I'm not from here. Maybe they could, but in a different way. My balloon hangs low. Lower than that day at the track, and it feels thin, thinner than it's ever been. I have to bounce it up off my shoulder. I put the Milky Bar buttons in the trolley and watch the shadow of my balloon slide across the baked goods. If you ask me about home, I'll lead you to a solitary mimosa tree on a lawn drawn in my memory and with my grandmother's paintbrush, and ask you to put your nose to its fluffy February flowers and to tear the fronds of the leaves with the fingers you had when you were 4 years old. 2 kilomètres à pied, ça use, 2 kilomètres à pied, ça use les souliers. We always end up walking to Bridgate Park. Mum used to come here when she was a teen, and my grandmother names all the birds and the flowers. It draws our family like the earth's core to a magnet. My balloon still glides low, it looks different here. Before, its flecks of purple and blue reflected the light of the coastal Alps, whatever it was that Van Gogh saw. Here its surface is all green and swithling slate like the faded watercolours on my grandparents' wall. We hug close to the hedge to let the horses through. It's easy to forget about my heavy balloon when my main task is avoiding swallowing gnats and stepping in dung all over the track. There's a lot of shit in this place. I tell deer, rabbits, cows and horses apart by what they've left behind. Imagine doing that with people. Not with shit, but with a dropped scarf or a pen or a load of fresh nonsense. It's only 2 kilometres up to the park, but it's basically a trek across Middle-earth. Small legs, heat. It's wild and windy. We're heading up to Old John at the top of the hill. Everything is old here. Everything has an underneath. Volcanic rocks, rocks of a seabed filled with fossils, fossils of plant-like animals and dinosaurs under our feet. Lady Jane Grey's house in medieval ruins. Even the green fronds of bracken and fern, if you know to turn them over, are covered in orange spores. It's somewhere in the bracken near the top of the hill that I realise my balloon is gone. I'm scared. So scared that I feel translucent in the sun and wind. I always thought that I was the anchor, but maybe it was my balloon that was anchoring me to the world. I wrap my fingers around my hand. I'm small, but feel smaller, like tiny, among the millipedes and the century layers of dead fronds. My throat pinches tight. I don't even try to speak. What would be the point? If my vulnerability had hands, it would be digging its nails into my frontal lobe, tucked under my skull like a snail under a slate. If the prehistoric ferns of my own lifespan had fossilised, they'd look like unrolling question marks with the occasional exclamation. I think back to when I last had my balloon, retracing steps. How irresponsible to lose a part of you in the heat of summer. What's a girl to do without her balloon? The answer isn't really to run, but what else can I do up here? So I do. I run back down the hill, picking up speed past the kite flyers and hikers, ready to tumble over when my legs can't keep momentum, ready to get up and keep running away from the hill, away from the ancient oak trees. When I get to the bottom, I turn around and I see it. Up in the sky, my balloon is dancing in the indecisive wind, shimmering green and purple like I've never seen it before. It's never been so far away from me. This is everything I feared, and I'm fine. It's higher than the wasps and the kites and the buzzing toy planes, holding my larynx, my vocal folds up in the air. Maybe my balloon too is finding a place to belong. And then it starts to fall. Not like a balloon, really, though, at all. More like a bird that's been shot in the middle of a glorious flight. What's happening? Do I not belong here either? What's wrong? I hope I don't lose my balloon forever. 1185 kilomètres à l'aile, ça pèse, ça pèse. 1185 kilomètres à l'aile, ça pèse dans le ciel. When I scramble to meet my balloon, it's deflated, sagging and muddy, my larynx pink and warm still inside. Everything here has an underneath, and for the first time, I see that my balloon does too. Its inside is the colour of a moonlit night, with all my words unsaid and all those words said to me, real and imagined, piercing its surface like stars. No wonder you are so weak, balloon. With all of this stored inside you. No wonder you let the wind take you away. I care for my larynx and my balloon on the walk back to my grandparents' house. With my hands full, I patch holes and listen to my larynx. Unlearn that the silence is a problem. There is nothing about your presence to justify. I allow you to notice the world. I learn the distance between my balloon and everything that could be said, and the 1,185 kilometres between me there and me here, which in the right light is no distance at all. If you ask me about home, I'll ask you to stretch your arms out as far as they can go, and then a little bit further. This is your wingspan. And in one hand hold a cherry blossom grown from an old oak tree, and in the other an acorn from the cherry tree in our garden, now lost to time. And then ask you to keep them close, preferably, and only if safe and secure to do so, inside of you. Back home, if anyone asks where the English in me comes from, which admittedly is not generally the first question they ask, they pose themselves a number of problems. One, have you ever tried to pronounce Leicester or Loughborough in French? If the answer to that is yes, then I refer you back to the word tried. Two, places are named to separate them from the places that they are not, when all I really want to say is what places these parts of me are. If you ask me about home, I'll float an opalescent, semi-opaque balloon above your head where a larynx will live. A voice threatened by the weight of the words and the indecisive wind. I'll ask you to notice the light that shines through it and to see the underneath. And then, with your balloon strong and shimmering, I'll ask you to speak with truth and with certainty.